Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
My number one album, big shocker to me, also Folklore.
Whoa.
Are you ready to dive into all things Taylor Swift?
Good for a Weekend is the ultimate podcast for any Swiftie.
With new episodes dropping bi-monthly, as well as bonus episodes to give you real-time reactions to the latest rumors and news, it's your one-stop shop for all things T-Swift.
We also love connecting with our fellow Weekenders, so be sure to connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and or Discord to share all your Taylor thoughts.
Good for a Weekend is available wherever you get your podcasts. I know.
Folklore just is... that, like, it's a perfect album.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to the Spark Parade, where I geek out with artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Unz. At Spark Parade on all social media. Thanks ever so much for joining me. I have such a fun interview for you to listen to this week. It's especially fun for me because I got to talk about a movie that I love so much. And as long as I had fun, we're all happy, right? My guest is AJJ frontman Sean Bonnet, whose spark is Alex Garland's super fucking incredible film, Annihilation. This episode is really just two film nerds being film nerds, which is something we all can enjoy bearing witness to, right? Quick disclaimer, though, there are spoilers aplenty for Annihilation in this episode. You have been warned. So now, let's just dive right in. Quick Sean facts. Singer and guitarist Sean Bonnet is the frontman and co-founder of the band AJJ. AJJ is an American folk punk band from Phoenix, Arizona, originally formed in 2004 by Bonnet and bandmate Ben Galletti. The band has released 7 albums to date, and their 8th studio album, Disposable Everything, will be released this coming Friday, May 26th. For Sean, this record is less a prophesizing mirror held up to a burning world than one inspired by personal grief. In fact, for him, this record is about what happens after the collapse, on both an intimately personal level and a much broader scale. He said, "A large part of Disposable Everything is the terrible thing I've been imagining finally happening. A big theme is my mom's death, which is something I think everyone lives in terror of, but once it happens and you're still alive, you figure out how to move on. It is, in some weird way, our happiest record. And if you want my opinion, it's a great record. And you should listen to it as soon as you can." Quick Annihilation facts. Annihilation is a 2018 science fiction psychological horror film written and directed by Alex Garland, based on the 2014 novel of the same name by Jeff Vandermeer. It stars Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson, Tuva Nuvatni, and Oscar Isaac. The story follows a biologist whose husband disappears. In an effort to find him, she puts her name forward for an expedition with an all-female group of explorers into the Shimmer, a mysterious quarantined environmental disaster zone of mutating plants and animals caused by an alien presence. The expedition team is made up of the biologist, an anthropologist, a psychologist, a surveyor, and a linguist. And there you have it. Now it's time to get nerdy. Here comes my chat with Sean Bonnet about Annihilation. The jumping off point for these things is always kind of your origin story. Actually, disclaimer first, sometimes with these things, I have to talk with people about stuff that doesn't do it for me, stuff I actively hate. I can always find a way forward. But with this, I love this movie so fucking much. So it's like, thank you for providing me an opportunity to talk about it because it's so good. Anyway. So self-indulgent portion over. Back to you. How do you remember being turned on to this movie or seeing it for the first time and how that felt?
Well, first of all, I have a question. So you've seen the movie before and now we're just two fans of Annihilation that get to talk about Annihilation for a while?
Exactly. Yes. I saw the movie when it came out and I read the first two books in the trilogy and I just finished watching it again. Now it's like for daytime viewing, it's intense, but it's still every bit as good as I remembered.
That's actually the first time I saw it. The first several times I saw it, it was daytime viewing. Cause I don't know if you remember, but it came out, on the tail end of MoviePass.
Mm-hmm.
That incredible genius business model where someone just gave you a card and you went to the movies for free for
I know.
As many as you wanted.
It's crazy. It didn't work financially for them.
Yeah. For a touring musician, when you're working, you're like kind of working 100% of the day, but when you're home and you have time off, like, and you don't have a lot of responsibilities, you have a lot of free time, and MoviePass was incredible for that. There was a lot of musicians off tour, just hanging out at the movies all day. And I was one of them. But I found out about Annihilation from social media. It's kind of one of the good things that'll happen from social media is getting turned on to stuff.
Yeah.
And Jeff Barrow from Portishead was talking about the movie that, he said something to the effect of like, this isn't going to be in the theaters for very long. Like you need, and it's meant to be seen. It's meant to be heard in a theater. And so that piqued my interest just, as a big Portishead fan. And then another thing that someone had mentioned in the discourse was just like, go see it and try not to learn anything about it beforehand, which also piqued my interest. And then, that summer I saw that movie like 5-6 times in the theater, thanks to MoviePass. It was not very well attended, even though, I think it was a sleeper hit, and I believe it's a cult success at this point. At least for me, it is. Got it. I love that movie. What's your? How did you get into Annihilation? What's your origin story with that film?
Well, I love Alex Garland's work. So, he'd done Ex Machina before this and written the screenplay for things like, 28 Days Later and Sunshine and Dread, and wrote, The Beach and other books. And just, I generally liked his work. And I think that combined with the cast, it's all of these just like amazing actors. And I just like sci-fi. Just mind-blowing. This incredible thing. And it was not only did it have the fact that it's not straightforward science fiction and that it's weird shit going against it, but I don't know if you remember this, but the distribution that the US was the only country that it got a theatrical release. It was sold to Netflix in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because the studio thought it was too weird. And the producer, who was Scott Rudin, who has since been kind of canceled for being a terrible person. But one good thing he did was really stood up for Alex Garland and said, we cannot change this movie. It needs to stay as it is. And because of that, the studio said, fine, but we're not going to release it anywhere. So it had a really small audience just because, when it's dumped onto Netflix, the amount of content that is there, it's really hard to make waves on the streaming platform.
Yeah, it was just a piece of gravel in an avalanche.
Right, right. But for those of us who did get to see it, whew, what, just it's very unusual. And I think I like weird stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess like for you, how did you feel watching the story, and did you know anything about what it was before you saw it?
No, not before I saw it. I think maybe I knew Natalie Portman was in it, and I knew that, you know, Natalie Portishead Man was in it as well, musically.
Yeah.
But wasn't a part of it a focus group thing? Someone wanted to make Natalie Portman more likable. I learned that after the fact, but that's great. That scoundrel had a really good point to keep that movie the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Watching it, I was blown away. I was very stoned. And it, that, you know, I don't know if that would have, if it would have made a difference either way, honestly, just for how great the movie was. It had a good pacing, really nice kind of slow tone.
Mm-hmm.
And a really, really wonderful use of that Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young song.
Totally.
Helplessly Hoping. It didn't feel like a sci-fi movie. Another thing, I guess, is it didn't have like a, it was an action movie that had a special kind of action.
Mm-hmm.
And just immense body horror. A lot of really gross moments.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, you know, thoughtful. And I think a review that I read said it's really refreshing to have characters in a movie reacting rationally to these insane things that, you know, they're freaked out, but they're not making impulsive decisions to, like, you know, run and jump on the creatures or, you know, things that you would expect from kind of mainstream sci-fi and action movies where people are just doing dumb shit that people wouldn't do in real life. Yeah, just like exciting and weird and also beautiful to look at. Like, the production design was incredible too. And like you said, Jeff Barrow, he works with Alex Garland on all of his stuff now. I think he did did you see Devs, the TV show?
Yeah, I like Devs. That was pretty good.
Yeah, he did the music for that. He did the music for Men, which was his last movie. And, you know, I'm obsessed with Portishead too. So anything that he's involved in, I feel.
Yeah, Men was fantastic.
Yeah.
I believe there's another another score guy involved in that, Ben Salisbury.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Salisbury also had a hand in Annihilation and Men and these other ones. I think Jeff and Ben work as a team. I just don't want to leave them out. Yeah, it's fantastic. In Men, there was a really similar moment musically, with some kind of dark 70s or light 70s folk. I can't remember what the song was in Men, but yeah, that one's fantastic. In your podcast, are you going to give kind of the synopsis, or should we let listeners know kind of the overarching gist of Annihilation to make this easier for them to follow?
I will give them the synopsis. I will take care of the heavy lifting later on. We can just enjoy ourselves.
Cool. Okay, great. Yeah. The setup of the cast, like five scientists, or what is it? An ex-military biologist, a paramedic, a psychologist.
Right.
Where was Josie Raddick from? She was awesome. Just finished her thing at Oxford or something, Cambridge.
Yeah, I can't remember. I just watched it and I can't remember.
Josie Raddick was a spectacular character, one that just like decided to agree with the futility of what was happening and just very quickly become a part of it. And I remember in the movie, it segged into Natalie Portman saying a really poignant thing, which was like, some of the parts of it were beautiful, you know, referring to the shimmer and the complete rewriting of all reality and DNA within this growing puddle that's turning into a lake. And I think that's an allegory for a lot of stuff going on, or a lot of things that happen to us in our lifetime. You know, you can look at it as social media, or a precursor thought to COVID-19. Like, for a minute during the lockdown, it really seemed like all of the rules were changing and that society was gonna become different in some way, maybe even in a better way.
Hmm.
And like, you know, I look back on the lockdown, not to bring. I mean, I guess it's worth talking about, because I watched it a lot during the lockdown too, but there were beautiful parts of that as well, much like The Shimmer, and, you know, beautiful parts of social media, which is something I have mixed feelings about. But I wouldn't have experienced this movie without it, I don't think. Or I'm sure I would have. I like sci-fi movies too, but it was neat to go in the way I did. And I think knowing that it was going to have a limited theatrical release in America was helped me kind of love it more, the rarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is an interesting point. It's like, you know, thinking about social media or the internet as a whole being this kind of unstoppable force that in a lot of ways is really destructive, but is capable of creating beautiful things. And it's kind of this chaotic soup that is what nature is as well, that it's both good and bad and beautiful and horrifying, and not really passing judgment on the thing as a whole as to whether it's good or bad, even though it has good and bad parts.
Yeah, it breaks the binary of a villain or, you know, like the evil. It's not evil. It's chaotic, like you said, chaotic and unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Even after they, you know, at the end of the movie, when Kane and Lena are reunited, their eyes have the shimmer in them. Mm-hmm. It's already happening. It's already like, it's already broken out of that DMZ, the Zona.
It's time for a teeny tiny nano break. We'll be back before you know it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Have you seen, what's that movie, Stalker, the Tarkovsky flick?
No, but I know that a lot of people say that, you know, they see a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah, it was weird because I went into that movie kind of dry, too. There's a really good, I live in Tucson, Arizona, and there's a really great theater called The Loft here. And it was, they'll feature certain directors each month. So every couple of years, there's a Tarkovsky month, and I went and saw Stalker for the first time and was like, yeah, really, really tickled with how much of a precursor to Annihilation it was. I only saw that one once. You know, I've seen Annihilation probably like 15 times now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the influences that you can see coming into this movie are really interesting, but also the fact that it's an adaptation, but it's an impressionistic adaptation. Like Alex Garland has said, he read the book and didn't refer back to it afterwards. It was just like his memories of what had happened in the book. And there's a lot of things that are kind of amalgamations of different things in the original story that he's turned into his story. And it, you know, it doesn't feel wrong. It's just different. I prefer the movie to the book, to be honest.
Yeah. There's a real like kind of Shining effect that happens there. Where the source material is fine, but then the film takes on a life of its own and becomes like this.
Right.
Yeah, the movie, the music, the cast and crew, like it all becomes greater than the sum of its parts. Like, and the book is just like kind of one piece of that. Yeah, I also have only read the first two Annihilation books.
Mm.
The first one was fantastic, and the second one was I'd like to finish it one day, but I'm not.
Yeah. I got to the end of the second one and was kind of like, I think I'm good. I don't know. It is always kind of looming out there as, and you know, I'm kind of a completist, so I feel like I need to finish it someday.
But I liked all the terroir wordplay with the terroir. Yeah. That shit was weird.
Yeah. But also again, talking about adaptations, this is not a perfect comparison, but like with cover songs, I find covers much more interesting when the artist takes that song and makes it their own and does something completely different to it so that it's like seeing it in a new way or improving on the original. And it feels a little bit like that with this, that it's like kind of taking the bones of the story and turning it into his own thing, and really making it something different, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's pretty masterful when someone can do that without like hijacking the idea.
Yeah. Did you see Under the Skin?
I did see Under the Skin. I saw it once so far, and it was great. But my very distinct memory, I watched it in the afternoon on a couch, and I went into this like very fun trance through like 45 minutes of the middle of the movie, where I just kind of lay down and was awake watching the screen, but not really conscious of what was happening. And then when I woke up, I was my liver was gone. No, I'm just kidding. I'd say I watched half of it and then took like a weird nap to it, but I loved it.
Yeah. Jonathan Glazer, who directed that, I really love his work as well. And that's a similar situation. I read the book that it's based on, and it is so different. The tone is really different. It's like not quite funny, but there's much more levity in it than in the movie. The movie is some brutal, there's some really upsetting stuff in it, but yeah, the stuff that he did with the story is just completely taking the seed of that idea and running with it in a completely different direction, and that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, we're talking about the one that ScarJo is in, right?
Yeah,
Scarlett Johansson. Okay, yeah, I need to see that one again, because I thinking about it, my fond memory, I barely remember that movie at all, other than it's like a single woman kind of body snatching, right? Is that the...
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm due for a rewatch. How often do you rewatch movies?
I occasionally. I mean, it depends on what the movie is. Like, I talked to somebody about Blade Runner the other day, and I've seen that about 5,000 times. there are certain, it's actually a lot of sci-fi movies that I end up seeing a lot of Kubrick movies that I end up seeing a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you find yourself rewatching movies? Like, do you kind of have a collection of favorites that you go back to?
Yeah, it's a growing one, but like not, you know, very slowly growing. I'll just get, sometimes I'll get fixated on a film if it's in theaters, and try to see that as many times. I saw Mad Max Fury Road a bunch of times as well, like 5 times, you know.
Incredible.
Taking different friends to it. I hate car chases. And like the whole Marvel world and Fast and Furious movies are, I'm sure they're good, but I can't really get past all the like, and like it's like so much going on that like I get a sensory overload and kind of tune out. But like, Mad Max Fury Road is one long car chase, and I love it. I love the entire thing. And I'll get fixated on movies sometimes. Mostly those two, honestly. And like Parasite, Everything Everywhere. I watched those a bunch of times.
Yeah. It's like things that are so, have such like strong, engaging, unique stories, but also this really singular aesthetic vision that it just like it's like nothing else. And you know, even if it has influenced other movies, it's like this kind of explosion in your brain when you see it the first time, and you know, it keeps you coming back.
Mm-hmm. And like in watching those movies and like taking notes to them and really trying to absorb them makes me feel like more powerful as an artist. It gives me fuel in a way that like just listening to music and other lyrics and stuff don't. It's just like, yeah, it's like kind of a very nourishing kind of art for me to enjoy when I'm getting influenced for my own stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, with something like Annihilation, there's so much to enjoy and be influenced by. And it is like the story, the performances, the soundtrack, the, you know, production design, as I said, all of those elements being spectacular in their own way and unique in their own way and coming together to make this incredible thing that is just so absorbing. But it's also very particular. Like a lot of people hate it. And I think it's because the trailer's like, oh, it's like women doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and it's going to be great. And it isn't that. And I think a lot of people went into it thinking that it was going to be something much more mainstream than it is.
Yeah. I saw a couple people, like numerous people, walk out during my during my stint watching Annihilation for that week.
Yeah,
it is cool that it kind of harkens back to the Ghostbusters, the scene where they're all walking up to the Shimmer for the first time. It looks like they have proton packs on.
Yeah.
Which is another movie featuring all women. Yeah. That got kind of tanked because they didn't like the women.
Yeah. I mean,
that shit sucks.
Yeah. And that really is it. I like that Ghostbusters. I don't know what's wrong with people.
It was great. Yeah. It was so funny.
Yeah. And I think as the movie goes on, like the pacing is definitely a bit more languid than you would expect from something that is people carrying big guns and shooting, you know, alien creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But that sequence in the lighthouse at the end is, you know, where shit gets really weird. And
yeah.
I feel like that must be a divisive moment for audiences who are expecting something mainstream as opposed to, you know, people who appreciate weird shit. Oh, that whole sequence is just like, it's one of my favorite things that's ever happened in a movie.
Yeah. It's the choreography of the fight mixed with the music and that like incredibly heavy, like synth. And then she climbs into that anus and comes out.
Yeah.
There is like a big explosion at the end. Like she does, you know, she does destroy something. So that's I guess not enough. Yeah. I guess it wasn't enough of a bass drop.
Yeah. But I remember seeing it and thinking that the creature mirroring Natalie Portman was CGI. And it's not. And it, like, I mean, there's, you know, effects laid over the actor, but, you know, it's, her name is Sonoya Mizuno.
Is she the dancer that does the Sia video?
She's in almost everything that Alex Garland does. Like she's the lead in Devs. And did you see Maniac, that Jonah Hill and Emma Stone Netflix show?
Yeah. That show is cool.
She's the kind of in the lab with the giant glasses, the scientist who's very like stylish, and she looks completely different in everything she does. I think she's an incredible actor, and she has a tiny bit part in Annihilation. I couldn't even spot her. She might've been cut out of it, but then she's a trained ballet dancer and she did that whole thing with Natalie Portman. And yeah, she's incredible. She was also in Ex Machina. She's the woman who's locked in with Oscar Isaac.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember her. Fantastic in Devs.
Yeah,
I had no idea that was her under the Shimmer mask.
Yeah,
whatever you would call that.
Yeah,
dude,
just like absolutely incredible. Such amazing talent. She's in House of the Dragon as well. She's just kind of pops up all over the place. And she's one of those actors who really disappears into the role. And so I'll always be like, is that her again?
Oh yeah. A real Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
the faceless man.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, all of that stuff. And the, you know, crawling into the anus and being in that cave. I hadn't seen Jennifer Jason Leigh in anything in a long time either. And having her kind of pop up, I thought she was really perfect for that role.
Yes.
So yeah, just really, really well cast. The whole thing just thought through so perfectly. So much attention to detail, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Gina Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Was real special in this.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite role. I also really liked her in Kajillionaire.
Yeah. That, oh God. Another movie that not enough people saw. Ugh. Yeah.
I wish I could talk about movies with you forever.
Yeah. It's so like when you find people who know what's right, it's very satisfying feeling.
Yeah. Oh, another movie that I watched over and over again that I even like call out is in songs is Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
The Werner Herzog action movie that he made.
Yeah.
or the detective thriller that's like a TNT original.
Yeah.
That movie's great.
Yeah. Somebody, he's just like the weirdo version of Steven Soderbergh or something, where he just like does everything. He makes every kind of movie. He acts in every kind of movie. He just like is open to it all and wants to just experience everything in film and make everything in film and just like get himself out there.
Yeah. He's really down to clown.
Yeah. Yeah. But in this like quite serious German man's body. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Cartoon voices. He's done them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Herzog rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else about Annihilation can we talk about?
I don't know. I mean, I feel good. I think we've covered a lot of ground. I don't think we need to, you know, strain our brains too much. We should feel proud of the work we've done. I feel very satisfied.
Yeah. Do you think, how many people do you think are going to go out and watch Annihilation based on our conversation today?
At least 5.
Yeah. Let us know, people listening at home, if you hadn't seen Annihilation before, but decided to, in order to follow along with the conversation or, after the fact. I can't imagine anyone would listen to this if they haven't seen Annihilation, but
I mean, people who want to hear what you like, I think that's the big draw. So, maybe I'm underselling it. There will be thousands of new people who will go out, and it will bring Annihilation a whole new audience. It will be forced back into the theaters, and it will become a blockbuster.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Even if tens of people listen or watch it, I'll be really happy.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's a special movie, and it's going to be here forever.
Yeah.
You know, and we can be proud that we were the early adopters.
Indeed. Yes. Well, thank you so much. This has really been a true joy. I love when I get to have conversations like this where it's just relaxing and nerding out about my favorite things. So thank you.
Same here, Adam. It was great talking with you.
That was so much fun. Thanks again to Sean for making time for me. The new AJJ album, Disposable Everything, is coming out this Friday, May 26th. Okay, a couple of quick sparks from me this week. Why do I get two when I only let my guests have one? Because it's my show, and I make the rules. Okay. My sparks are both singles that were released a few days ago from gigantic musicians. The first one is Kylie Minogue's new song, Padum Padum, which is the gayest fucking shit you'll hear this week. Next week, it's going to start getting even gayer because it's the start of Pride Month. But for now, this is as gay as it gets. It's a quick and light little tune. It's like 2.5 minutes long, but it is such a bop, and it'll make you want to get on the dance floor with a bunch of other sweaty, excitable homosexuals. Or at least that is what it did for me. The other song is from the opposite side of the spectrum. It is from Blur, who have released The Narcissist, which is their first single since 2015. It's, again, quite a simple song, but it's super catchy, and to be honest, I wasn't sure that they were ever going to release another album, since Damon Albarn has focused a lot on his other band, Gorillaz, and the other guys in Blur have been making cheese on farms and being politicians and shit. Those are actually genuine examples of their activities. I am not making that up. Anyway, a very welcome return from them, so give those songs a little listen. And that is pretty much it for this time around. Please follow me on social media at Spark Parade. Please have a wonderful week. Maybe have a little adventure of some kind. A few hijinks thrown in, perhaps. Who's to say? And until next time, bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks. Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.